It's an honor to have Eddie Green of Fear Not visiting The Antidote. Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. The honor is all mine.
So first things, you got to tell us your role in the band, and then maybe fill us in about the other band members.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the lead singer. Fear Not. They grew up on the Sunset Strip. I'm a Midwest guy. But I came into the band about 6 or 7 years ago, right around COVID. And so the other guys in the band, they're the four original members, which are Larry Worley, who is the original lead vocalist, co-lead guitarist, Chris Sorensen, who is the dedicated lead guitarist, Gary Hansen on drums, and Rod Romero on bass. They're the original four.
Lead singers are prima donnas. Does that label fit you?
No, sir, not at all. It's funny because I've been a lead singer all my life, and I've never, ever been that, want to hog the spotlight, prima donna, stereotypical lead singer guy. I'm a firm believer that we are the sum of all of our parts. It takes all of us to make the magic happen. So I'm very unassuming. I'm a hardworking guy. I'll help lug in the drums and all the gear. I'm not just because all I have is a microphone doesn't mean that's all I'm carrying. So I am very different as a lead singer from what most people are. That whole want the spotlight on them. I want the spotlight on all of us.
Fear Not has a lot of years under your belt. The debut self-released came out in 93.
Right.
How do you feel about that album? You weren't a part of the band at that point, but are you pleased with it?
Yeah, I'm the youngest. I'm the baby in the band. So in 1993, I was still in college and, grew up here in the Midwest. But that album's iconic. So I sang for a Christian metalcore band that was signed to a sub-label of Warner. And that's really how Larry and I met, because we played a motorcycle event. He's part of the Priesthood Motorcycle Ministry. And I was hanging around them because I'm a Harley guy. And they asked our band if we'd play one of their events. And his road name was Rockstar. So we got to talking, what does that mean? And they're like, oh, you don't know Larry? You don't know what he does? And I'd fallen, kind of out of that Christian music scene at that point in time. I was more into the secular stuff. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't know anything about them. And Larry approaches me and says, hey, I wanted to know if you might be interested in coming to be the new lead singer of Fear Not. And I'm like, well, I guess I better listen to their music. I don't know what they sound like. Mm-hmm. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh my God, these guys are like Skid Row meets just great 80s rock music. And, I said, I have two reservations. Number one, you're an iconic singer. What you do, it's you. You have your signature on it. So I don't know how I would be received, because I'm not that. I'm a modern rock and metal singer. I said, I don't know if what I do would fit. And he said, well, why don't you come over and let's record Love Is All Right. We'll send it to the band and we'll see what happens. And I went over and I just had a blast. And we sat down and talked. And I said, as much as I respect 1993, and if I'm going to be the lead singer, I will give it all of the attention that it deserves to preserve the integrity of 1993. But anything that we write, I don't want it to be that. I want us to be now. I want us to be relevant. And if that's not where you guys are, then I might not be your guy. And they were like, no, let's see what happens. And we got in and wrote For the Wounded Heart, that EP, and we did it in 3 days over a weekend. And it was just magic, absolute magic. And, there was a little bit of trepidation from, I was not very well received by the Fear Not diehards initially, because I wasn't Larry. And that's to be expected. It'd be like me walking into Skid Row and saying, okay, I'm going to be the new Sebastian Bach. That's just not going to happen. But it caught on. And as we kept writing and putting out more stuff, everybody saw this was for real. That's a long answer to your long-winded answer to your question. But that 1993 album has its place in time. It is iconic. It is what put them on the map. So when I sing those songs, I make sure that I keep the integrity of what I'm doing as strictly as I can to preserve that.
The thing is, you have a great voice.
Oh, thank you. it's funny that you say that because I just had a conversation with the band. I've been an athlete my whole life and I was never musically trained. The guys that I play with are world-class musician. And I have always felt like a pretender. Even when I was bodybuilding and competitive powerlifting, I felt like the chubby kid trying to be a lead singer. So when you ask me that question about, are you the prima donna? I am such a polar opposite of that. I'm not insecure, but I doubt myself a lot. Like when I'm on stage with other bands, I'm like, I'm not good enough to be on stage with them. I've always felt that way. Some people call it humility and being humble. To me, there's just an innate fear of I want to be the best I can be because I don't look like the stereotypical lead singer. I don't look that part. As a lead singer, I always felt like I had to be a good singer to overcome some of that. So, I've always felt like the little chubby kid pretending on stage to be a rock star.
Give It Up is one of the songs that came from that self-titled.
Yeah, great. That was the first song I migrated to. That song is so good.
But obviously, the band didn't give up because they're still at it. But it did take a long break because nothing came from Fear Not until 2019. You must know the story about why the band got pulled back into the music scene.
Yeah. What ended up happening was 1993 and grunge took over right about that time. So too little too late, much to the chagrin of a lot of the bands that I feel like would have been bigger than your Motley Crue's or your Poison's, bands like Tyketto, bands like Hardline, bands like Hurricane Alice and Wildside and XYZ and, all these bands that came out right there at the end of the 80s rock scene. And I think Fear Not is one of those. They could have been even 10 times bigger if that album would have debuted in 1987. So they all were very just disenchanted when, grunge came in and they knew this was a one and done kind of situation. And so they all went their separate ways. They didn't know. There was no social media. They had no idea, the impact that they had made on the Christian music world. They all of a sudden reconnect and decide they're going to get together. Rox Records picks it up and says, we want to release a 20th anniversary edition of that self-titled. And now social media is around. The guys all decide to get back together to do a rehearsal and brush the dust off and see what happens. And I guess there was a super fan there and live streamed it and everybody went nuts. And I was like, oh my God, is Fear Not getting back together? And they saw the impact that they had made. Hey, we do have a fan base. We are still relevant. But Larry's voice couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't do it as a lead singer. And then hence where I come in. And they said, we feel God has called us to continue to make music. And so they approached me and the rest was history. But I think it was really cool that they all get together and somebody live streams the rehearsal, and that was the spark to the flame. Now I feel like we're putting out our best music and our best is still yet to come.
Well, the new era of Fear Not came with that 2019 release, the EP for The Wounded Heart. Songs like Don't Want None really made it sound as if Fear Not had just never closed up, even if they did have a new voice.
Yeah, and it's funny because, Don't Want None is the song that we had been opening the shows with. And the funny story about Don't Want None is I got to the studio late. The guys, I introduced them to the producer that produced all of my stuff with Even the Dogs. And we always called that guy the sixth member. He was the mad scientist. He made us better than what we were. And they loved him. So they're in the studio and they're writing. And Gary is in the booth tracking the drums for Don't Want None. There's no lyrics. There's no vocals to it. They're just tracking music. And I'm late getting to the studio. And I walk in and I hear the song as Gary's playing it live and immediately just start scribbling lyrics. I mean, just instant like that, start scribbling lyrics to the song. Gary finishes his last lick and I'm like, set up the vocal mic now. And the producer's like, what's going on? I'm like, I got it. And I walk in there and it was a one take vocal. But I walked in there and cut it, and the guy's jaws were just on the floor. And God has moved with us in that manner. It was like we had been together our whole lives. It's crazy how our chemistry works like that. And it's been that way ever since I joined.
Well, the song Don't Want None talks about pulling yourself up out of the pit.
Mm-hmm.
So these are your lyrics. The snakes deceived me and filled my head with lies, made me believe I had a life to despise. My feet hit the floor this morning, and I'm breathing and alive. Every day is a gift. Every day is a blessing. Now, our world is full of lies. So who's trying to deceive you these days?
Right. Well, I think it's funny that you can pull that out of that song. And then if you look and you take that excerpt and you apply it to the new EP, it's like this continuing story. You know, if you look at our discography since I joined For the Wounded Heart, you're prefacing Don't Want None, which leads into the full-length album Fields of Sorrow. And you look at the lyrical content of that, you know, you're pulling yourself up out of the pit. Well, Fields of Sorrow is dealing with a lot of that same subject matter, which transitions into Weight of the World, which was the next EP, where, you know, feels like life is so heavy and there's the bright light, which turns into the new EP that's coming out March 20th, The Blind Leading the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that excerpt from Don't Want None, those lyrics could be applicable to any one of the releases that we have. One of the things, you know, whenever you said, you know, my lyrics, I do write from a very dark place as a Christian, you know, because my life didn't get hard until I accepted Christ, because I wasn't a threat. The devil had me right where he wanted me. So, you know, I wasn't a threat. I've always said, you know, if we're not under persecution and we're not under attack, we're not a threat and we're not doing something right. And so I write from this very dark side with the bright lights at the end of the tunnel. I write from the warfare side of Christianity, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And Don't Want None is a battle cry. It is no, you know, it, my Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And, you know, that's basically, rather than being the mouse that hides in the corner, I'm going to be the lion. You know, I'm standing up going, bring it. Let's go. I'm going to kick you in the teeth. I know you're defeated. I've read the end of the book. I win. So we do come at it from a very brash in your face message, you know, about what we want to convey. And that's just what God has called us to do.
In the early days of Fear Not, I saw them being described as hair metal. Nowadays, you've been called metal, hard rock, even stadium rock. Which of those labels do you think best fits your sound?
None of it, if I'm being honest. I would say we are Southern power metal or Southern groove metal. We've got that Southern influence at Nashville, Midwestern, Texas, Oklahoma feel.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to that hair metal. We have, in fact, on the new press release, we purposely asked our label to X the hair metal out of our description.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably out of all of those, I would probably say stadium rock would be the closest to what we do, because I do think a lot of what we do is big. It sounds really big and it's anthemic. But if you were going to just, you know, paste the label on us, I would say it would be Southern power groove metal. That would be our wheelhouse.
Well, something about the band is that you guys don't seem to mind having some lighter songs.
No, not at all.
Like, Fear Not has done a few ballads over the years. Like, the Fields of Sorrows album has Beautifully Broken. Now, I once spoke with Ryan Clark of Demon Hunter about their ballads, and he admitted that the ballads were the most popular of their songs. Do you think that's been the case with Fear Not?
It has. You know, Carry Me is our most streamed song to date. I kind of liken it to Beth from Kiss. It was the B-side of Detroit Rock City. And everybody kept flipping the 45 over and playing Beth. It just seems like it reaches a broader spectrum You know, I think when you're in rock and metal, you have a very niche audience, and ballads tend to have a broader brushstroke or a broader appeal.
So it's making it more accessible.
It does. But I think it also makes it more relatable. It's easier to get lost in a ballad. And, you know, Carry Me was, you know, the crazy story about that was I wrote that song in a hotel room in a very dark time in my life. And I was going through some serious stuff. And I wrote it hoping that people would be able to relate to it and migrate to it because it was written kind of off the principle of footprints in the sand. And when the burden becomes too much for you to bear, God will carry you through it. And I get very emotional whenever I talk about it. I got up on stage to perform it for the very first time, and I went to introduce the song. And before I even got it out, I just started weeping. I will never sit here and tell you that I have heard the audible voice of God. But that's about as close as I've ever came that night. Because right then and right there, he said, I know you felt like you wrote this for the world. He said, but what you were going through, this was meant for you.
Are these songs always personal? Because Beautifully Broken, back to that track, says, I'm so ashamed of me, a victim of my own demise. I just can't let the world see nothing but lies, but I will rise. Is that personal, or are you telling a story?
Some of it is story related, but a lot of what I write does come from very personal things. You know, not to table that, but you look at like Voluntary Madness. You know, Voluntary Madness is written about alcoholism. I've never dealt or struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave that to me. And it's funny because the people that hear it think that it's something that I've struggled with. It was so real. Sometimes the lyrics come to me as an idea. And occasionally there will be things in there that are from personal experience. Beautifully Broken is from personal experience.
Mm.
So God works through me to be able to convey messages like I've been there, done that, even though I haven't. You know, but yes, that song is very personal to me.
I'd also be saying that all of the songs from Fear Not show the band's faith. But, you know, I've never thought of Fear Not as being evangelical. But is there a place for that in your music?
There is. You know, one of the things about, we are very much a ministry. You know, one of my big principles is that I try to operate on the principle of what St. Francis Assisi said. At all times, let your life preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when necessary, speak. You know, I would rather be a bright light than beat somebody over the head with theology and religion and doctrine. I'm never going to get up on stage with anything contrived, you know, or planned out or rehearsed. That is the one thing that I love about us, is that we are led. So if I stop the show because somebody in the audience needs to hear something and I know that I'm being told that I need to convey this message, I will. But if I'm on stage at the Whiskey in front of, you know, a secular band, you probably won't hear me say a single word about it. You know, I'll let the lyrics and our countenance minister.
Sure.
So yeah, I would say absolutely not. We are not evangelical in any way, shape, or form, but we are very much a ministry.
Well, I think there was an era of a lot of that, but it isn't necessarily the best approach.
Right, right.
You know, there's another winner from Fields of Sorrows, and that's the title track. It brings in an interesting analogy. Thunder cracks so loud, rain falls down, faith brings the storm, quenching this parched ground. You know, there's some people that believe that God will do anything that they pray for. Sometimes you'll even hear that from a preacher, but is that actually reality?
You know, the one thing that I try not to get involved in is how somebody's message should be said. You know, of course, we're always going to interject our own interpretations of it. But, you know, I think that whenever we talk about the reality, whoever the listener, what their perception is their reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm never going to stand in judgment, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to come under a lot of criticism for the lyrical content of The Blind Leading the Blind. It's for people that it applies to, are they're going to be offended, you know. But if it doesn't apply to you, then there should be no offense. You know, I don't guess I really know how to answer that question and answer it correctly without interjecting my own opinion into it. And the song is going to mean something different to each listener. And whatever it means to you is what it should mean to you. It's what God meant for you. So I know that Fields of Sorrow, whenever I wrote it, and I sit down and you know, the thunder cracks so loud, you know, talking about that, it's just talking basically about how to get away from that big voice and listen to the still small voice, you know, and to not let your circumstances dictate your faith. You know, and that's really what that song is about. It is about getting out of your own way and having a relationship with the Creator that is unique and inherent to just you.
You should be a politician. That was a diplomatic
that's
answer.
Just the truth. I mean, it's you know, I think I can put it this way where it'll make sense. It's God gave me the power to raise, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cause the blind to see, the deaf to hear, to perform miracles. He said, greater works than these shall you do in your life. The one thing he did not do is he never gave me the power to judge. We try to see everyone's potential. We try to look at people in love. And we try to walk a life that would be pleasing to the Father. But we're human. And we make mistakes. You know, I get mad. You know, I fall down and fall short every day. So that's why I'm very careful about saying, this is it. This is the way. Because that just may be my way. You know, and it was, and as long as I'm not convicted over my way, God's not speaking to me saying that's not right, then that's where my relationship falls and your relationship may be different. And we're good with that. We hope that the message is to make it personal, but that's not for us to say what it should or shouldn't do for someone.
I want to switch into the 2019 EP, Weight of the World. The single from that was Crashing Down, and I love the line, living this life with my hair on fire, burning the candle at both ends. From what you told me before this talk started, that really does fit you. And it's such a rock and roll statement.
Right.
But the song has actually got a solution.
Yeah, absolutely. Living your life with your hair on fire, burning the candle at both ends means a lot of times we get so busy, wrapped up in life, we forget to spend time with the things that matter. The things that matter can be our prayer life gets neglected. We'll spend our life in our phones when we're sitting right beside the love of our life, you know, where we could just put it down and have a conversation. There's a difference between working hard and working smart. Mm-hmm. And I think that we spend, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, physically, we spend most of our life in this hustle bustle world. The days of an 8-hour workday are gone. You know, everybody wants more and more and more and more of you. And you are living your life with your hair on fire and you're burning the candle at both ends. And because of that, we lose sight of the important things, the things that matter. Because when you're laying on your deathbed, you're not going to say, God, I wish I would have sent that one extra text. I wish I would have won that one extra deal. You know, I wish that I would have bought that, you know, Corvette whenever I had the chance. It's going to be the moments that matter that you're going to wish you had more of. Means we got to stop. You know, sometimes we will run way out there ahead of God thinking that we're doing the right thing. And the whole time he's sitting back there 200 yards away, tapping his foot going, I'm still back here. You know, you're driving the bus. I'm not driving the bus. We sometimes have to pause. You know, it says in the Bible, be still and know me. Sometimes we need to spend more time being still than working hard.
And that's a tough thing, especially for guys to do, not being sexist, but it's true. It's how we operate. Now, you've spoken a couple times about the new EP, Blind Leading the Blind. You guys really never stop. And I'm wondering how you find the time and the ideas for each release.
Well, the funny thing is I have about 100 sets of lyrics that are backlogged and archived. You know, I just went into this writing frenzy and the guys couldn't keep up. But one thing we noticed, and if you listen to any of our reviews, we did For the Wounded Heart, and then it was a couple years goes by, and we didn't do anything. And then we released the single, our first single off of Fields of Sorrow, which was Struggle. And then it was two more years before we even released the album.
Mm.
So you're talking a four-year time span from an EP to a single release to a full-length release. And we got a lot of criticism for that. You know, life got in the way. We were living our life with our hair on fire and burning the candle at both ends, and we weren't making time to make the music, to the point that we all started questioning whether or not we were going to continue doing it. You know, do we have time? Do we have the time to do it? So we changed it and said, you know what? We're going to write. We're going to be urgent, deliberate, and intentional and purposeful about making time for this, because this is our way of praising God. So if we don't have time for that, God can't bless a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So we put out Weight of the World, went right back into the studio as soon as Weight of the World was mastered and in production, and started writing The Blind Leading the Blind. The Blind Leading the Blind comes out March 20th. We are already in production for the full length coming out in October.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, we just purposed, we are going to just do EPs, then combine the two EPs and put three or four bonus tracks on it for a full length, and already have a new EP ready to go and loaded. And we're going to release music every 6 months.
Wow.
We went a little longer than that because Weight of the World came out in July, June or July, and then it's March before, you know, this EP comes out, but then October for the full length. But what we started doing is putting dates on things and committing to those. So therefore we're under the gun. We've got to get it finished. And that's the urgent, deliberate, and intentional part of what we're doing. So the good news is we all have recording studios at home, you know, so Larry can write something, bounce it to me. I can record my vocals sitting right here, bounce it back to him. Then we bounce it to the guitar player and the drummer, because we are geographically challenged. Our lead guitarist and drummer live in Nashville. Me and the rhythm guitar player live here. The bass player lives in Los Angeles. Thank God for digital format now and the ability to be able to record that way, as opposed back in the day when you're on inch and a quarter and you had to go into these big recording studios. We'd have never made it. You know, not in this day and age. We wouldn't make it that way.
The actual song called Blind Leading the Blind speaks about false prophets. And that does seem to tie in with what Fear Not does, because your songs seem to want to both challenge and entertain people. But which should dominate your songs, the entertainment or the challenge?
I think let's answer this way here. You're going to think I'm a politician again. God gave his very best for us on the cross. And anything short of that from us means that we're doing a disservice. So it's kind of an all-encompassing question. The performance has to be there. The musicianship has to be there. The production has to be there. The writing, the execution, you know, the challenging not only each other, but the listener. It has to be the sum of all of our parts, that if we don't put our best foot forward with each and everything we do, then are we truly doing it as unto God? You know, if we're halfway doing it, we're not giving him our best. Why do we deserve his best? This is the most challenging recording work I've ever done for the listener. You know, I'm happy to even, you know, share the tracks, because they kind of go in succession as a story. It starts off with a song called Hard Road, you know, and then it transitions into When Goliath Falls, then The Blind Leading the Blind, and then The Devil Prays for You, P-R-E-Y-S, you know, and then it finishes with I Drove the Nails. Just the song titles alone evoke lots of imagery.
Oh, absolutely.
But the lyrical content will challenge you spiritually.
Eddie, I've got to thank you for coming to The Antidote. It's been great hearing what's happening with Fear Not.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm honored and very blessed to be here. And I appreciate you listening to me ramble.
It's been an interesting ramble.
Well, good.